But Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, that is in this place right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your glory and for your greatness and for your power and your might. And Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor right now, Lord, for what you are about to do, Lord, even in this time right now. And so, Lord, we lift up our hands, Lord, and we worship you and we praise you, for you are holy and you are mighty and you are worthy of all praise and all glory and all honor. And we lift you high right now. Lord, we magnify the name above all names, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we give you praise right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning with us. It's still morning, a little bit. But my name is Samuel. I'm one of the pastors at the Rock Church of Easton, as Pastor Karen had mentioned, right in downtown Easton on 5th Street across from the Easton Library. But it's an honor to be here this morning, and I would like to thank Pastor Karen for having me this morning. And it's a great pleasure to be here with all of you. And what kind of worship? Hallelujah. That was amazing worship to the worship team. And but I need to get into the Word, because I believe that the Lord has given me a word for us this morning that I would like to share with us. That before Pastor Karen, and I walk around it, that's all right. But before Pastor Karen gave me the date to come, I knew that I would. We had talked beforehand. I went home that night, and the Lord began to speak to me, I believe, about a word that I'm going to be sharing this morning, that I believe is a word for us personally, but also a word for the house of the Lord. And what I want to say this morning is that there are times that when you're in the presence of the Lord, at least for me, when you need to walk the narrow. And this morning, the presence of the Lord is here with us, and I believe that there are things that the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. That is not time for me to say what I want to say, but it's time to say what the Holy Spirit wants us to say this morning. Amen? And so I was, I knew the verses that the Lord would have me to say this morning, but I was struggling with the application. Because so I was at work. As she said, I work at Kelly Nissan. If you need a car, come see me. And I began to struggle with what the title of the message was this morning. I knew the verses. And how many of us know that the Lord works in mysterious ways sometimes? And so I'm at work, and I'm in the showroom, and there's a TV on the wall, and I'm barely, it's kind of dead noise to me, but they put it on for the customers who are there. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, and I'm praying about, because I was thinking, praying about what I was going to be talking about. And I look up for a split second, and the words on the screen are, "If you build it, he will come. If you build it, he will come." And praise the Lord, I feel at home this morning as I'm here with you all. And I knew immediately that was from the Lord. Because the word that I have to share with us this morning is that if you build it, he will come. Somebody say, if you build it, he will come. If you build it, he will come. And I had no idea what this movie was. And I looked over at my coworker, Scott, who's a believer, and I said, Scott, the Lord just spoke to me through the TV right there. And he said, he's like, Sam, the Lord can speak to you through anything. And I told him, and there was this movie called The Field of Dreams from like the 80s, and long before I was born. And the word on the screen said, if you build it, he will come. And so that is what we're going to be speaking about. That is what I'm going to be talking about this morning. You don't have to turn to this verse, but in Exodus chapter 25, it says, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. And you see, in these verses, Moses is going up and down into the mountain, and the Lord's presence is on the top of the mountain. And the Bible says that only Moses was able to go up to the top. But there came a time when Moses and the Lord were speaking, and the Lord spoke to him and said, then have them make a sanctuary for me. What I've come here to tell you this morning is that if you build a place for the Lord in your life, that the Lord desires for your life to be his resting place. Come on, somebody, this morning. That the Lord desires for your life to be a resting place for the presence of the Lord. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but there are things that we're going to be speaking about this morning that I believe that God desires for you to be his resting place. You see, God was telling Moses to build a tabernacle. He was telling Moses to build somewhere, build something for him to dwell so that his presence could be made known among the people, so that his presence could be made known on the earth at that time. And I believe this morning that the Lord wants us to understand that he wants a space to dwell in our lives. The Lord wants a space to dwell in our lives. The Lord wants a space to dwell in our lives. And for some of us this morning, that might mean for us that we need to let go of certain things in our lives. There are sacrifices that are made for the anointing of the Lord. There are sacrifices that are made for the presence of God in our lives. But I'm here to tell you today that the Lord does not want to be on the periphery of our lives. He wants to be in the center of our lives. You see that when we accept Jesus into our hearts and into our minds, into our lives, it is not that the Lord comes just to spend time with us on a few moments on a basis of a day, but he wants to be the centerpiece of our lives. And I believe this morning that if we allow the Lord to be the centerpiece of our lives, then we will begin to see miracles, signs, and wonders happening in our lives. So who's ready to hear the word of the Lord this morning? Amen. So I want us to turn, if you would turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings here, and chapter 4. We're going to go to 2 Kings in chapter 4. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. And the story that we're going to be reading about this morning is the story of the Shunammite woman. How many of us have heard of that story? You know, it's one of those things where it's more or less an obscure story that you don't hear about very often today. But the more I began to read this story, the more I realized that the Lord wants to speak something through this story. So it's 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, we're going to go to, and we are going to go to verse 8. Where am I at here? There we go. And it says here that one day Elisha went to Shunem, and there was a well-to-do woman there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. And she said to her husband, "I know that this man who is often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let us make a small room for him on the roof and put a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." And one day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. And he said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. And Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you have gone through all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commanders of the army?" And she replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her?" And Elisha asked Gehazi, and he said, "She has no son, and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, "Behold, you will have a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Do not lie to me. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant." But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. And so in this story, it's a very interesting story, because Elisha oftentimes went through the village that we know as Shunem. And there was a woman there, the Bible says, and she was a Shunammite woman. And what I love about this story is that the woman doesn't have a name. We just know that she's the Shunammite woman. And so Elisha is going through, and he's going to a place called Carmel, because Mount Carmel is where he would sacrifice and he would spend time with the Lord. And the Bible says that there was a woman that began to take notice of a man of God that would be going through her town on the way which he was going. And so this morning we are talking about, if you build a place for the Lord, he will come. And the first point to the message is this, and I want to go back to the very first verse that we read, is that one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. And the first point of the message this morning is that when Jesus passes by, are we going to invite him in? When Jesus passes by. Now you have to understand here is that Elisha is like an archetype of Jesus in this passage of scripture. Because in the same way that Elisha is passing by, in our own lives, Jesus is passing by as well. You see, there are many days in our lives, and it's amazing to me in the Old Testament when Jacob, when he had the dream about the ladder and the angels going up and down on the ladder, and then he woke up from the dream and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know. And in the same way, it is amazing to me that Jesus can be passing by our lives, but we are so busy and so other-minded that we don't even see him passing by. But what I want to say to you this morning is that I believe that the Lord is passing by our hearts today, and he's saying, will you let me into your life? He's saying, and I'm not just talking about those who are unsaved, but also those who are saved. Because there are many people who allow Jesus into their lives and say, Lord, you can eat with me, but you can't stay with me. Lord, you can eat with me on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday morning when I'm at church, or on a Wednesday evening when I'm at Bible study with my believers. But when it comes to every other day, is the Lord welcome into our lives, into our hearts, into our minds, and changing us by the power of the Holy Spirit? So this woman, she saw Elisha coming. And what I want to tell you this morning is that it wasn't just the man, it was the anointing upon the man. There was something that she saw in the man of God. There was something that she saw that compelled her to say, would you come in and eat with me today? There was something on Elisha that she said, whatever is in him, I want in my house. That whatever it is on that man, I need in my house. And the question this morning is, are we desperate enough to say, Jesus, that whatever is on him, I need in my house. That whatever is in Jesus, I need in my life. That whatever is in Jesus, I need in my family. I need in my workplace. I need in my vehicle. I need in the areas of my life where I'm lacking. Because the thing is this, is that the Bible says in Revelations, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. But the question is, are we going to let him in? Amen. And so the Bible says in Revelations 3 verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. You see that? I love that the Lord loves food. Because I like food, as you can see. And my wife will tell you that I like food as well. And the thing is this, is that the Lord wants to have him, the Lord wants to not just knock on the door of our hearts, but he wants to be invited in. He wants to come in. And so the first point of the message this morning is that when Jesus is passing by our lives, are we going to let him in? Are we going to allow him to come and sup with us? Are we going to allow him to come into our lives? And not just come into our lives, as we're going to read in a moment, but stay in our lives as believers. And again, we're talking about that if you build it, he will come. A part of the building process, a part of allowing the Lord to be in our lives in a way where we're seeing signs, wonders, and miracles in our lives is allowing him to come in and change us, and us being obedient to his word and his will and his way in our lives. And so in 2 Kings chapter 4, it says that one day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. And verse 2, she said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room for him on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair, a lamp for him. Then he came to stay there, and whenever he came, he was there. And so what I want to say about this, and it brings us to the second point this morning, is that it's one thing for the Lord to come and visit, but it's another thing for him to stay with us. And so the second point of the sermon this morning is that we have to build him a room. We have to build him a room. room. So notice here how in these verses, this woman in verse 9 and verse 10, it says that she said to her husband, I know that this man is a holy man of God. You know something, that in the Old Testament, when the Ark of the Covenant was going about, when the Ark of the Covenant was going, it was stolen by the Philistines and they were bringing it back and it went to the house, and wherever it went, it blessed the land. You see that we have to want Jesus so greatly in our lives that whenever he passes by our house, that we say, Lord, not only would you stay, not only would you stay to eat, but Lord, I want to build a place for you. I want to build a place for you to stay, that my life would be a resting place for the glory. My life would be a resting place for the anointing of the Lord, that my life would be a resting place for his presence. And you know, when Jesus was being baptized, I'm reminded of this story in the New Testament, and the dove descended upon Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And then the voice of the Father said, This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And the same way, we need to be having the Holy Spirit in our lives in a day-to-day basis. You see, notice it wasn't a space near her house that the woman said, I'm going to have the prophet stay. Notice she didn't say, let's have him stay at the temple nearby. She didn't say, let us make a space for him somewhere else. But she said, I want this space for the prophet to be on top of my own house, which exudes the headship of Jesus in our own lives. You see that it wasn't just that the woman wanted the prophet to come by and stay every once in a while in another place. She wanted the anointing on her house. She wanted the presence on her house. And the question is this morning, is that Jesus is walking by. And you may say to yourself, I've eaten with Jesus many times in my life. But are you willing to say, Lord, I want to sacrifice. Lord, I want to know what it takes to say, Lord, I need you to not just eat in my life and be with me, but Lord, allow me to sacrifice in a way that I can build a space for you in my life. That no matter what comes, that I know that your presence and your glory is in my life. Amen. You see, in our lives, our lives must be the resting place of the Lord. And I believe that the Lord desires that each and every person in this room, that we have a place where the presence of the Lord comes. And what I'm talking about is the secret place with the Lord. What I'm talking about is that we need to be able to develop a time with the Lord where we say, Lord, it doesn't matter what is going on in my life, that if I need to get up 15, 30 minutes earlier in the morning, that I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to do what it takes to say, Lord, this is your time. And I'm building a place for you. I'm building a space for you to come. I'm building a time for you to come, that no matter what is happening in my life, everything else can go away because this is my time with the Lord. And I believe that the Lord is calling us to a place where we build a space for him, that we build not just a place for him, but somewhere for him to dwell. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, do you not know that you are the temple of God? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And so this is amazing. Paul is saying, first of all, don't you know that you're the temple of God? Don't you understand that you are a temple unto the Lord? But not only that, he takes it a step further, that not only are you a temple unto the Lord, but as well that the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. And if the Spirit of God dwells, has residency inside of us, that means this, that I need to make a space and a place in my life that says, Lord, I don't just want you to come with me on a Sunday morning, but I want you to leave with me as well. I want you to go with me to my home, and I want you to go with me as I pray to you in my rocking chair or in my bed or wherever it may be. That you're saying, Lord, I need to dedicate a space to you that is sanctified by the Holy Spirit, that there is no more mixture in my life, that I'm saying, Lord, I am solely yours, because I want to build a space for you. I want to build a space for you. You see, the only way that our lives can be a place of resting for the Lord is if we create a space for him. You see, it's very simple. But yet sometimes can be very difficult. How many of us know that to be true? Because all of us have busy lives. All of us can say to ourselves, well, Sam, I don't have enough time. All of us never have enough time, it seems like. But it's not that we don't have enough time. I believe this to be true. It's not that we don't have enough time. It's that, am I willing to give up some time for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in my life? Because it's not just that the Lord wants us to have him on Sunday, but he wants us to have him all week long. And so the only way that our lives can be a place of resting for the Lord is if we create a space for him. And I was thinking about this just for a moment, because in order to create a space for the Lord in my life, some of us have too much stuff. Some of us have too much things in our lives. You know that you accumulate many things. And my wife would tell you this is true about me, that I keep everything. I keep, amen, sister. I keep everything in my life, okay? It doesn't matter what it is. But why? Because it's sentimental. She doesn't get it. It holds value in my life. Even if that person gave me that thing some 20 years ago, it doesn't matter. It's mine. And so, and here's the thing though. But that just as in our physical lives, we have a spiritual life as well. And the thing is this, that sometimes the physical life can get so cluttered that it drowns out the spiritual life. And what happens is this, is that the things that we do in our physical lives, and we say that I have to go to work, I have to take care of my kids, I have to take care of my car, take care of all of these different things, do not allow us to make space for the Spirit in our lives. And when we do that, what we are doing is we are negating the power of God in our lives. Because what is happening is this, is that we are allowing something to become more important than the Lord in our lives. And hear me very clearly this morning, that when we allow the things of the natural to become in headship in our lives, we are denying the power of the Spirit in our lives. And so the thing is this, is that you may hear me this morning and you may say to yourself, well, Samuel, there are things in my life that I know I need to change. There are things in my life that I know I need to get rid of. But the question is for Jesus this morning is, if he knocks on your door and you allow him to come in, and then you say, well, Lord, I want you to place residency in my life, then the Lord tells you, well, you need to give up something. The question this morning is, am I willing to release things in my life? Am I willing to allow the Lord to go into the depths of my heart where no one else has seen, to bring healing to my heart and my mind? Am I willing to allow the Lord? Do I trust him enough this morning to say, Lord, that whatever it may be that is going on in my life, I trust you this morning that you know what is best in my life, that people may have betrayed me, but Lord, I will trust you to heal me. Lord, that people may have let go of me and people may have stabbed me in the back, but Lord, I know that I'm going to let you into this area of my life where I've been hurt, where I've found distress, where I'm at, where I have problems in my life, and say, Lord, I'm going to give you this clutter so that your Spirit can enter in. You see that? You see that? There's a release that happens in the Spirit. There's something that happens that when the Lord comes into your life, it is not just a single moment happening when we get saved, but it is a process of sanctification that happens in our lives where we're saying, Lord, I know that this thing does not belong, so therefore I'm going to release it to you. I'm going to release it to you. I'm going to release this anger. I'm going to release this drama. I'm going to release this person to you because I have forgiven them. So therefore, Lord, help me also to walk in freedom. You see that when this woman, she had to sacrifice her time, her money, and all of these different things to build a room and a space for the prophet. And in the same way in our lives, is that there are some things in our lives that only come through sacrifice. And I know that we don't like to hear that, but it's true that there are only some things in the Lord. There are only some, the presence of the Lord in our lives is determined by how long we spend with him. And if we want more of the presence, if we want more of the power, if we want more of the glory, if you want to hear his voice when you're at the grocery store and the Lord says to you, speak to that person, you have to be spending time with him in order for that to happen. Because the thing is this, is that we can't say that we know the Lord if we don't spend time with the Lord. And what I've come here to say is this, is that we need to build a space for him. Amen. Now, what happens when we build a space for him? What happens when we make our lives his dwelling place can be found in verse 11. It can be found in verse 11. And so it says here, It says, one day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. And he said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. And Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king and to the commanders of the army? And she replied, I have a home among my own people. And then he said, what can be done for you? And Elisha asked, Gehazi said, she has no son and her husband is old. Now, what I love about this is that the woman is in her house, and the prophet says, what is it that you need? What is it that you're looking for? And she says, I'm good. I don't need anything. I'm good. There's nothing that I need. I'm in my own community. She is happy. But let me tell you something, that when you're spending time with the Lord, there are things that are hidden in your heart. There are dreams and desires that are hidden in your heart and your spirit that you have forgotten about, but the Lord still remembers and knows. And so notice this in this verse here is that he says, please, he says here, call her and ask her what she wants. And then he said in verse 16, about this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. And she says, no, my Lord. She objected, please, man of God, do not mislead your servant. But the woman became pregnant. The next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. And so notice here, in this story, is that we go from the woman inviting the prophet into her house just to eat. And then we go from this happening many times when the prophet would pass by, she would invite him into the house to eat. And then she speaks to her husband and she says that I perceive that this is a man of God. We should build a place for him. And so what happened was, is that it went from eating to staying with them. And the same way is that Jesus comes and knocks on the hearts of our door and he says, I want to come in and eat with you. I want to come in and sup with you. But at the same time, he also wants to stay with us. But notice here in this verse that we just read, it went from come and eat with us, come and stay with us. Now, what can I do for you? And I want us to understand this verse is because in the same verses in the New Testament, we read that Jesus asked the blind man in the book of Mark the very same question is, what is it that I can do for you? What is it that I can do for you? And what I want to say this morning is that if you're looking for your miracle, if you're looking for your answer to prayer, if you're looking for signs and wonders in your life, begin to build a space in your life for the Lord to dwell. If you're looking for the anointing that breaks the yoke in your life and over your family and over your lives and whatever else is going on in your life, begin to build a space for him, because the Lord, I believe this morning, is saying, my brothers and my sisters, what is it that you have need of? What is it that you have need of? What is it that you need in your life? Because the Lord is here right now, and I believe that if you have built a space for him in your life and you're saying, Lord, I've already said that you're my master, Lord, I've said that you're my savior, and now I've built a place for you where you're in the headship of my life, and now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is asking a simple question, what is it that I can do for you? And in Mark chapter 10, Jesus asked the blind man, what can I do for you? Now, I want us to understand something, is that the woman said, all is well. It is okay. I am good. But the Lord knows that there are things in our lives that are dormant. The Lord knows that there are things in our lives that we think are dead. The Lord knows that there are things in our lives that we have not thought about for many years. But let me tell you something this morning, is that the Lord knows the content of your heart. Even the things that we have forgotten about, the dreams that we thought were dead and gone, the vision that we thought was dead and gone, the things that we have not even thought about for many years, the Lord still remembers the prayers of his saints. The Lord still remembers the things in our lives that we have not even thought about for a long time. And the thing is this, in this story, is that the prophet says, what is it that you need? And the woman says, I am okay. But I believe something is that the prophet perceived something that the woman did not perceive. The prophet perceived that there was a dream inside of her, a big dream inside of her to have a child. And then he says to her, you're going to have a child this next year. You're going to have a miracle this next year. And then she says to him something very peculiar. Don't lie lie to me. Don't tell me something that's not going to happen. But can I tell you something this morning? The Bible says that the Lord is not like man that he should lie. That when he commits his word to something, it is not going to return void to the hearer. That when God says he's going to do something in your life, he is going to make it happen. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, men will give unto their bosoms, because the blessing of the Lord will be so great upon your life that you will not even know how to contain it. And I believe this morning that the Lord is saying, my people, what is it that you need? That if you've been saying to the Lord, Lord, I build this house and I stand upon the rock of my salvation this morning. And he says to you this morning, what is it that you need? What is it that you've been asking for? What is it that you are calling me for? And then if you say to the Lord, Lord, I do not know. There are things that he knows in your heart, in your life, that are waiting to come to pass. Amen. And so when he stays, and let me tell you something, it is when he stays, the miracles begin to happen. You see, too many people are wondering where the miracles are. Too many people are wondering, where are the signs and wonders in my life? Too many people are saying, Lord, I've been walking with you for a long time, and I have yet to see the fruition of the prophetic word over my life. But let me tell you something this morning, is that the Lord is here to answer all of those burdens in your heart and mind. Even the things that you have forgotten about, the prophecies that you've set up on the shelf and you haven't read for a long time. I believe this is that there are bowls in heaven that are filled with the prayers of the saints, both prophecies of things to come and things that you've been asking for, that the Lord says this morning to you, that what is it that you need? And even if you've forgotten about it, the Lord has not forgotten about it. Even if you said to yourself that there is an area of my life where I don't even know if this is possible, but just like the Lord can give life to a dead womb, is the same way that the Lord can give life to a dead dream in your life. Is the same way that the vision can still come to pass. The Bible says to write it down and make it plain and read it out loud to yourself. And I believe this morning that whatever it is that you are looking for, that whatever it is that you are looking for this morning, I want you to raise up your hands to heaven and say, Lord, I am saying yes to the calling. I am saying yes to your word, that Lord, I have a need, so therefore I will ask and I shall receive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so when he is in the room, miracles begin to happen. But what I want to say is this, that this is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story, because it gets even better. And it gets even better. And so I want us to go to verse 18 here. At verse 18, because something very peculiar happens in this story that maybe we were not expecting. And so it says here that the child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was in the reapers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. And the father told his servant, carry him to his mother. Typical father, you know, go to your mom. And so it says here that, go to your mother. And it says, after the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, that the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. Then she called her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. And then he said, why go to him today? And she asked, it is not the new moon or the Sabbath. And she said, it is well, it is well. And she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on and don't slow down, for unless I tell you. Now I want you to understand something, is that this woman, she had a miracle in her hands, but then it seemed like her miracle just died. That this story is a story of great faith, and this story is a story of also of the normal things that we do in our lives that produces miracles in our lives. But what I want to say this morning is that the child began to grow, but even when the child began to grow, the Bible says that we just read it, that the miracle died in her hands. And I don't know about you this morning, and I don't know what you've been waiting on the Lord for, or what he has given you this morning in your life, but whatever it may be, is this, we need to know this, that even when things seem to be dead, the Lord still has a way. And here's what we need to understand about this story, is notice here, the woman did not say, my child is dead, what am I going to do, and now I'm going to sit in the corner, and I'm going to sulk. She didn't say, the Lord has betrayed me. She didn't say, the prophet has lied to me. She said, all is well. And you see, there are things in our lives that when we build the place for him and the miracle comes, and even when the miracle comes, the enemy attacks. But we need to understand something, is that our God is a miraculous God. And so in this story, the woman, what did she do? She took the boy. She put him in the place of the room of the sacrifice, the place where she has sacrificed time to build, the place where she had sacrificed an area for the prophets to stay. And the Bible says that she placed him on the bed. Now, what do we do when our miracle seemingly dies in our lives? Do we bring it to the altar to the Lord, or do we bring it to another place to gossip and to say how the Lord has not been faithful to us? Because the thing is this, is that what we do in our moment of trial will determine how we are in the aftermath. If we take the blessing and we bring it to the place, we bring it to the altar, and we say, Lord, I know that you're going to do something despite what the natural looks like, because you're a supernatural God. Lord, I know that you're going to do something even though everyone else around me thinks I'm a lunatic. And Lord, what I'm going to do is I'm going to place the miracle on the bed, because I know that you're a miracle working God. I know that you can do supernaturally and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And so therefore, this woman, she placed the boy on the bed. And then what else does the Bible say? Is that she went to her husband. She said, I'm going to see the prophet. I'm going to see the prophet. And what I want to say to you this morning is that some of us need to go see Jesus. Some of us need to take our burdens and bring them to the Lord. Some of us need to say, Lord, this miracle was never mine to begin with. It was your miracle. So therefore, you take care of the rest. Because no matter what happens in the natural, all is well. Amen. And so now it says in verse 24, she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, lead on, don't slow down for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's the Shunammite. Run to meet her and ask her, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet, and Gehazi, the servant, came over and tried to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why. And then she said, Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And she said, did I tell you, don't raise my hopes or don't lie to me? And Elisha said to Gehazi, he said, tuck your cloak into your belt and take my staff in your hand and run. And don't greet anyone you meet. And if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. And Gehazi went ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face. But there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy laying on the bed. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and laid on the boy mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands, and stretched himself upon him. And the boy's body grew warm. And Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, and then got onto the bed and stretched himself once more. And the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. And Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. And when she came, he said, take your son. She came in and fell on her feet and bowed down to the ground. Then she took her son and went on. Now, this story is amazing here, because notice that the boy has died, and then the prophet comes back and he tells his servant, lay my staff on the boy and see if he lives. And then the Bible says that it did not work, basically. So Gehazi meets Elisha, and then Elisha goes into the room, the same place where she has built the place for the Lord in her home. That same place, it is that we need to understand about it, is that Elisha, he goes in and he sees the boy laying on the bed. And the Bible says that he stretches out over the boy, hand to hand. hand, mouth to mouth, nose to nose, eyes to eyes, feet to feet. And the same way is this, as I believe this, is that if there is an area of our lives that is seemingly dead, that there is nothing that the Lord cannot resurrect. And let me tell you something, how this is an archetype of Jesus, how Jesus spreads himself over our lives and he brings the dead things to life in our lives so that whatever it is that we are waiting for, whatever it is that we are looking for, there is a resurrection life that is happening in the moment that we need him. And I believe this, in this story, that there was a transfer of glory. There was a transfer of the anointing from Elisha onto the boy. And in the same way in our own lives, there is a transfer that happens, that when we call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says that he is there to save us. And so when we call upon the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm taking this miracle that you have given me, this answer to prayer that you have given me, Lord, I have called you in. I have made a space for you in my life. I have asked you to stay here, and therefore I'm going to lay it down on that place of sacrifice. I'm going to lay it down at the altar, and now I'm saying to you, Lord, I need you to make yourself known in my life so that this thing will come back to life. And the boy began to live. The boy began to breathe. And let me tell you something this morning, is that there are miracles in our lives that the Lord is wanting to bring back to life. There are things that the enemy has trying to stolen from you. There are things that the enemy has tried to take from you. There are things where the enemy has tried to make it feel like there is no more hope. There's nothing else that's going to happen in your life. He's trying to make you feel like you're the bottom of the bottom. But the Lord wants you to know this morning is that when he comes into your life and you call upon him, the Bible says that he is going to save you in your time of need. And what I want to say this morning is that whatever dream you're waiting for the Lord to resurrect, and you've said, Lord, you have given me the miracle, and now I'm believing for it to come to life, I believe that the Lord is going to have things come to life in your life like you have never seen before from this day forward, that if you have faith to believe in the dream that God has given you, that there are things in your life that you're going to see come to pass. Hallelujah. And the woman said, all is well, all is well, all is well. And what I'm going to say today is that those things that are dormant, those things that are seemingly dead dreams, all is well, all is well, all is well. You see, all is well. God sees your faith and your sacrifice, and it is not over yet. It is not over yet. It is not over yet. And so in this story that we just read, that there were three things that we talked about. And in this story, there are three kinds of people that I would like to make mention of. And if the worship team, if you would come forward, if that's all right, as we begin. And there are three kinds of people that I would like to differentiate in this story. Is that number one is the person who invites Jesus in to eat, but Jesus does not stay. And I'm not saying that you can't be a believer in order for that to happen, because there are many Christians who settle for less. There are many Christians who don't understand, and they say, Lord, I just want you to come in. Lord, I want you to save my life. But Lord, do I truly want you to change my life? And so the first kind of person in this story is the kind of person who says, Jesus, I want you to come in and eat with me, but Lord, I don't need you to stay with me. And the second kind of person is this, is the person who made your life his dwelling place. And now he is asking you, what can I do for you? You see, because here's the thing, is that this person has said, Lord, I want you to come in and eat with me. And now I'm going to build a place for you. And now I'm going to build a space for you. And I've said, Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek your face in my life. And you said, Lord, I want you to come in and I want you to live with me. I want you to truly take residence in my life. And then there's the third kind of person in this story, is the person who has already, they've done all of these things. They've done all of these things, and they've asked the Lord of something, but it still feels like in our lives that the miracle is dying. It feels like the miracle in our lives has gone away. It feels like in our lives that, Lord, are you still there? Are you still there? Lord, are you still there? I've been serving you for a long time. I've been calling upon your name for a long time. I've seen you do miracles in the past, and I know that you can still do miracles today, but Lord, it is difficult to hear your voice even right now. And those are the three people in this story, the people who invite Jesus in to eat, but they don't ask him to stay. And then there's the person who says, Lord, I want you to come to eat with me, and I've decided to make this place your dwelling place. And then there's the person who's been doing all two of these things for a long time. They've asked the Lord, and the Lord gave them something, but then the miracle seems like it is gone. The miracle seems like it is gone. And what I want to pray this morning, if you would stand with me this morning as we conclude. You can play the music softly if you would. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.